Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. As long as I can remember, people thought that the only benefit of salvation was to keep from going to hell. Well, this is not exactly true. There's more than meets the eye when it comes to being saved. We're going to talk about it in this particular episode. My heart's desire is that you understand the benefits of your salvation. In Jesus' name.
What happens with the salvation is the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And what he does, when you hear his voice, and you start speaking and doing the things he says, you can live a blessed life. You can live in the blessings that are in this book while the rest of the world around you is in chaos. I'm hearing the Lord say, Psalm 91 is one of the benefits. One of the things that you're saved from, Psalm 91, I heard it so clearly in my spirit here. There's a lot of scriptures in this book that are only related, that can only be tapped into by those who are saved, who are following God and are listening to his word and obeying it.
Here is this week's message.
We want to make sure that when you're coming in as a new member, that you know you're saved. And I said, okay, so she says, so what is your testimony? How do you, you know, what's your proof that you're saved? And I'm like, okay, well, and I said, well, I remember getting saved and baptized as a child. I tried to follow his voice all these years. And then he told me to pick up and drive 2,000 miles to come here. And he kept telling about restoration, things that was going to happen. And so the voice is what pulled me. That's why I'm here. And she says, okay, but what scripture are you standing on? I'm like, I didn't have a scripture. Not that I knew of right then. There might have been a scripture that drew me, but at that point, it was the experience that I had that I knew I was saved. And then she said, okay, let me show you how we do it here. And see, I came out of a Baptist type of background where we didn't really necessarily say saved. They always said the doors of the church are open. So the way they always said it is you came into the church as a member, not necessarily coming in as a member of the body of Christ, receiving Jesus Christ. Now, personally, I received Jesus Christ. Okay. So that was a given because I knew, even though they may not have understood exactly what they were asking when they said the doors of the church are open. But for me, I knew at that point I was receiving Jesus Christ. I was already in the church. I grew up in the church. So the doors being open had nothing to do with me personally. But I knew in my heart I had been transformed. Now, so this woman says she opens her Bible, and this is one of the ministries, and she knew me well because I had been coming to prayer, so she knew me by the Spirit. And she says, here is what's acceptable, one acceptable scripture you can use. She took me to Romans 10:9, which it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she says, do you believe that? I said, of course I do. I confess Jesus is my Lord. Did God raise him from the dead? Yeah. And then I stopped and thought about it. Well, why? Why do I have to believe that? If I had an experience, I heard him, I knew I was transforming my heart, the love of God filled my heart. Why did I need to have that scripture? Well, it's an understanding here because it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The reason that's important, it means that I'm putting him in control of everything. I knew he was my Lord, but then I had to confess it out of my mouth and confess it publicly. Just like Jesus had people say when he said, if you deny me publicly, I will deny you before my Father. So he wants us to confess him publicly. So that's what I did before her, even though I did it before the Baptist church. I did it before her at that point, said, yes, I do confess. Now she says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And I said, yes. And I said, only because I know he's alive. And she kind of looked at me strange. She said, well, what do you mean? I said, I know he's alive because he appeared to me. He spoke to me. So technically speaking, the Bible said he died and rose. I had evidence for myself that he actually arose because I heard his voice. He appeared to me. So I know he's alive. Now, there's something even deeper than this. Because what happened after she gave me that scripture, I began to meditate on what does this exactly mean, his being raised from the dead, and my belief in that. Because when we look at the resurrection, the confession that the first apostles and disciples had was the proof that Jesus was real and that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God, was the fact that he rose from the dead. No other God, no other person in the world has ever claimed to have been Lord and God over death, but Jesus Christ. And the reason that was important is because if God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can quicken our bodies. And that's what it says in the Bible. He can quicken us and bring dead things to life in our lives. Hallelujah. Woo. That's for somebody. This is why we have to believe that he raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I may have mentioned a week or so ago about the one pastor, Dr. Paul Onyeche, who actually has a song that they sing at his church in Nigeria, where they say, if God can raise the dead, he can heal the living. And what it says is, if you know Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that same power comes to reside in every believer to raise us up to do the impossible. And that's one of the reasons salvation is necessary. Now, some people say, well, what are you being saved from? Saved from this world, from the destruction that's in the world, from the chaos that's in the world. And I go back because when people say I'm getting saved, they're like, okay, saved from going to hell. Nah, it's deeper than that. It's being saved from the wrath of God that's coming upon the earth in these last days, being saved from the destruction of the curse that Adam put in the world. Because what happens with the salvation is the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And what he does, when you hear his voice and you start speaking and doing the things he says, you can live a blessed life. You can live in the blessings that are in this book while the rest of the world around you is in chaos. I'm hearing the Lord say, Psalm 91 is one of the benefits. One of the things that you're saved from, Psalm 91, I heard it so clearly in my spirit here. There's a lot of scriptures in this book that are only related, that can only be tapped into by those who are saved, who are following God and are listening to his word and obeying it. Psalm 91, the requirements for you to receive Psalm 91 are this. You have to dwell in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of his wings, meaning you have to dwell in his word. The secret place begins with his word. And so there are a lot of Christians. They have a lot of sickness and disease. The enemy's beating. Why? They don't understand. Your salvation guarantees that if you do what God says, and this is all covenant, dwell in his secret place, you're going to be protected. So all these protections are yours. Okay, it says, and if you say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him do I trust. The other part of this is too, once you say that he's your refuge, and once you repeat that and live in that concept of God is my refuge, he's my savior, he's my Lord over everything. He tells me what to do. Ha! Then the power of that word manifests in your life because you are a covenant person. You came in and got saved. That means you're under the covenant of God, the agreement he made with Jesus Christ when Jesus went to that cross. He went to the cross saying, okay, God, I'm your people, Adam sinned, this world is a mess, the curse is here, but your plan is still to bless the people. Your still is to give them an inheritance in the land, because that's why he created this earth. It was supposed to be an inheritance for his people, righteous people, people who are following God. That's why he created everything for Adam and Eve. And they were supposed to have a family coming out of them that was going to be righteous. But when Adam did his own thing, he said, well, I can do what I want to do. So when he did that, God had to take him from the garden, said, block that garden, said, oh, no, you can't live this way and partake of my everlasting life. You got to get out of the garden because this is only for people who follow me. And so he came out of that. The curse came into the earth because what Adam did, wanted to do his own thing. And to this day, the earth is under that curse and is perpetuated by individuals who still want to do their own thing. But when we go back to this book where it says, dwelling in the secret place. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Meaning if you dwell in his word as a covenant person, but you can't dwell until he's in you, until you receive him as Lord. Now, could somebody say, you know, I want to dwell? Yeah. And say, okay, how can I do this? And the minute they say, I want this, God can also transform your heart and put you in covenant with him. Because all throughout the Bible, you had what they called a mixed congregation. You had people who believed and who were covenant people and people who saw the power of the covenant, who wanted to latch on and say, I want those benefits. And you see that, we see that a lot. Now, I know Muslim people who will come to a healing meeting to get healed, but they're not transformed to become a Christian yet, but they believe Jesus is a healer. So they benefit that part, but they don't come in as full covenant. Now, for those who are believers, the healing is ours. And it's really kind of sad sometimes to see so many believers that are sick when you got Muslims that come to get healed. They understand the healer. They understand it's not that there's more to what the believers have access to than we actually believe. And I've had Muslims who said that. I've heard people that know Muslim friends and teachers of Muslim Islam who will say they don't understand why Christians don't know what they have. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know the power. Right. So that's because, though, they were always taught, at least in this country and in America, people got saved because they're trying to avoid hell. But again, going back to as a child, I'm thinking this doesn't make sense. I've seen the demons doing this to my family, to friends, and I see people sick and dying. It didn't make sense. If Jesus was the healer, how come we're not seeing this? It's because people didn't know their covenant rights. So we get saved so that we can partake of the blessing in here. Again, I'm not going to go through all of this, but I also heard the Lord says Psalm 23. Now, a lot of people say this psalm at a funeral, but this is a psalm of life. This is a psalm of prosperity. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, you get saved. Jesus is the Lord. What does that mean? He's your shepherd. Lord means he tells you what to do. Okay, you confess the lordship of Jesus. That means you don't do your own thing anymore. That's what Adam did, and he walked in the curse. He started the curse. This is part of what it means to be saved. If you want to be saved from the curse, you want to be saved from destruction, the Lord has to be your shepherd. If you want to live in a prosperous life, hallelujah, you have to let the Lord be your shepherd. That's what it means to be saved. You're no longer living out here your own life. You're not living the way the world lives. The Lord is your shepherd. He is your Lord and your master. You follow him. And it says, I shall not want. What does that mean? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means I have no need for anything. I'm self-sufficient in him. These are not just the religious words. It means if you listen to him, follow his voice, he'll lead you to lie down in green pastures. He'll lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. Again, this is why we get saved. These are not just words. This is covenant. These are God's promises if we allow him to be shepherd.
Beloved, there's so much more to salvation than just having your sins forgiven and going to heaven when you die. God desires that you demonstrate the power of heaven right here upon the earth. That's why Jesus came preaching the kingdom and demonstrating its power by healing the sick, casting out devils, and doing all manners of miracles. And Jesus said that those who believe in him would do the works he did and even greater works. This is why he saved us, so we can bring glory to the Heavenly Father in displaying proof that he really did send Jesus to the earth. Beloved, if you've enjoyed this episode, join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to like and subscribe both to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel as well. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.